All right, well, welcome once again, ladies and gentlemen, to Chamber Chat, the podcast that's simply for Hueytown, and we have a very special guest that's all about some Hueytown, and we're going to get to him in just a moment. Joined on this podcast, we got double co-host. We got Cameron Bartlett, who is becoming quite famous. The latest episode is your first. How did it feel having your, you know, your hearing your voice and talking and all that?
If the other episode worked, it would have been better since I talked more. Yeah. But, you know, it was
so
fun.
Yeah, we had to start over two or three times.
Yeah, it was fun being called out by you.
But oh well, that I didn't mean to. That rarely happens at all. You know, but
we had to start every time or anything.
We had to start like over like three times to make it happen. So I'm glad that you're here. Jaslyn Morning is back. She's eating, which is a no-no in radio, but that's okay. Podcast is that a blizzard?
It is a blizzard.
What flavor do you have?
I have a strawberry cheesecake blizzard without the strawberries.
What?
Okay. So let me just. All right. So you have a strawberry cheesecake blizzard without the strawberries. Why do you just get a cheesecake blizzard? Why do you have to say strawberry cheesecake blizzard? Hold the strawberries.
If I say cheesecake blizzard, they put chocolate in it, and I don't want chocolate in it.
Oh, here we go. This is fascinating for all you listening right now. It's blizzard taste. Yeah. But that's okay. So glad you're joining us. I want to thank Gavin, the Williams, the man, the myth. He is running the show for us. Funny story, I think Gavin's pretty good at his job, but we couldn't get the mics to work. So our guest, Coach Patterson, was able to go, hey, Gavin, why don't you just, it's not on. So that could have something to do with it, the on off. Coach Patterson, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
It's always great. You know, I see you at these events from time to time, but I know this is your busy time of year. You're getting ready for football season to kick off. We're excited about that. And you've coached a couple different places, Summerton Christian, correct?
That's where I started.
That's where you started, and now at Hueytown, and we're going to talk about that. But I want to get where Coach Patterson's from, where you started. Let's talk about that. So did you grow up in Hueytown, or did you come from somewhere else?
No, left Fairfield when I was five.
Okay.
Moved to Hayden, Alabama, out in the sticks. My parents moved out there. That's where I went to high school, graduated from Hayden.
Okay.
I currently live in Summerton. That's where, when my oldest son got to middle school, he had been in private school in Gardendale that stopped at sixth grade.
Okay.
So we were looking for a place to put him that had athletics and all, and, you know, God works in mysterious ways. And one of the guys in our Sunday school class was the assistant principal at Summerton Christian. So went and visited, fell in love with it, and kind of the rest of it's history from there.
So, Coach Patterson, did you play high school football? What position?
O-line and D-line.
Oh, so in the trenches.
Yeah.
Yeah, the man position. That's what I'm talking about. How good were your teams when you were in high school?
Terrible. I had three head coaches in 4 years of varsity. Yeah. I think our best season was probably 3-7-ish, something like that. But loved it. Loved the game. Loved my coaches. Couldn't tell you enough stories about how much and what it meant to me. The friendships are the biggest things.
You know, when it comes to coaches and when it comes to playing football, if you ever hear that you've had three or four offensive coordinators, three or four coaches, it doesn't end well.
No.
Because that continuity you need. You know, you need that in sports. You need that. And you see that a lot. That happens on a lot of football teams. When you're constantly changing coaches. And that happened to Hueytown. There was a lot of coaching turnovers before you took the job. And that does make a difference.
Yeah. Not to jump ahead, but I think that part of my story plays into, you know, what we've been able to do the last, you know, several years here at Hueytown. Coach Manziel brought me in 2016. Mm-hmm. Actually brought three of us from Jasper together where he used to be. And I told him after the first year I really felt like Hueytown was a gold mine as far as athletic talent, but the kids just didn't trust anybody because by the time they saw a game in middle school and they got to high school, it was a different coaching staff.
They didn't believe.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, and I told him, I said, if we can just ever get a core nucleus of guys, that four or five or six guys that are here all the time, you know, and the kids know, you know, from elementary school all the way through, I think that we'll see some success, and that's played out.
I want to talk more about that in a second, but I do want to talk about you going to college.
Yep.
Okay, did you play in college?
Nope. Okay. I didn't. I was supposed to. I was supposed to be a preferred walk-on.
Okay.
At what used to be Livingston, is now West Alabama. Had a real freak accident a week after graduated from high school. I was actually working on one of my football coach's vehicles for him because that was my little pastime, was tinkering with cars. Yeah. And got pinned in between his truck and my car, tore a knee up. Spent about 9 months on crutches, kind of that dream of getting to play vanished. My dad had been at UPS for years and had opened up a business, like a miniature UPS in the state of Alabama. So I just kind of went in, had been working with him since the age of 13, and just kind of transitioned into working with him and thought football was over for me.
When did the coaching bug hit you, though? So you're working with your dad. You're kind of away from football. When did that coaching bug go, okay, I want to stop this. I want to coach football?
When my oldest son was 6 or 7, came home asking if he could play.
Yeah.
Got involved with a youth program there, wound up coaching my three sons, you know, or my two oldest sons, actually, through youth ball. And then when we made the move to Summerton Christian to put him in school, you know, small school, you know, a lot of part-time help. They were begging for coaches, and I kind of jumped at the chance to help with the junior high program there starting in 98, and was involved, you know, working in our business and coaching there from 98 to 07. And my dad had had a couple of bouts of cancer, different deals, long story. We closed the business down officially in 09, but I went to work at Summerton Christian full-time in 07.
Okay. When you got that job, did you start as a head coach? Were you?
Nope. Actually, in 07, I was a defensive coordinator. First time I'd ever been a coordinator. Nobody's ever ready. But, you know, being such a small program, we still coach both sides of the ball. That head coach actually left and went across the street to Dora.
Okay.
They hired another guy in as a head coach, and I remained the DC. He was 1 year and gone, and they came and asked me if I'd be interested. I wasn't ready by any stretch, but, you know, was fully invested in the school with my kids there and believed in what we were doing. Was the head coach there until 2012, and, you know, just with some differences, I guess, in philosophy and future about wanting to compete for championships that I had seen our baseball and softball program do. Football, you know, is a different animal.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so yeah. I made the decision to step away from that job, not knowing what God had for me next, and wound up at Minor.
Okay, the Tenacious Tigers.
Yep. So yeah. I went from one extreme to the other. You know, we went back and forth from 1 to 3A during my time at Summerton, but I left there, went to a 6A program when 6A was the biggest we had, and went to be the D-line coach because of staff changes over the summer. I got moved to O-line because I was the only guy left on staff that had ever coached O-line before in any capacity. So I told Coach Cook I would do that. The first day of practice, I had three more kids on the O-line than I had on the whole team at Summerton. So it was a huge, huge transition, but it was really good for me. You know, I started to wonder if I was the reason people left programs, because Coach Cook left after that that year. And I got an opportunity to go to work with a guy named Ernest Hill at Jasper. Ernest is now a DB coach at UAB, really, really bright defensive guy, and I wanted to get back on the defensive side of the ball, so I took a chance and made the move to Jasper, spent 2 years there before Coach Manziel asked me to come to Hueytown.
Coach Cook was a very funny guy to me.
Yes.
I will give you an example. So it was Hueytown Minor. We're doing the game on television, and I'm doing sideline on TV that night. And so I'm actually on the field before the game, and I guess somehow he knew that I was from Hueytown or whatever, and he comes up and he goes, "So I guess you're pulling for Hueytown tonight, aren't you?" You know, we started joking back and forth. I go, "Well, listen, you know, during a broadcast, I am neutral. I have no purple and gold on. I have no whatever minor color, blue, whatever, purple. They had purple too, I guess.
Purple.
So he just kept messing with me. And then that night, because it was our game of the week, and that night on the radio, I was interviewing, and Minor had ended up winning, and he was giving me fits. And jokingly, you know, and it's like, I don't even know Coach Cook. And he just somehow started messing with me. But it was such a fun night. He was a good guy. I bet he was fun to work for.
He was. You know, I hated that it was his last year. Would have liked to have been there, you know, a little sooner to spend more time with him. That, you know, we were severely outmatched. We were in a region with Hoover and Hewitt and that bunch at that time.
The region of death is what they call it.
It is.
That's the old 6A region of death. It moved up a classification.
That's right.
So, you know, we were talking before we came on the air, and just me, and I'm younger than you, the football and how it's changed, the two-a-days and the things that people have to go through. My dad was telling me, because he played back in the late 60s, early 70s, was telling me one time, there was no water.
Yeah.
You didn't drink anything. And now you can't practice more than, you know, 90 minutes or whatever. Yeah. You know, you only get one. It's just the way it's changed. And I think the world's changed kind of with that. Football is a different sport now.
It is. It's totally different. And, you know, I had a – matter of fact, I had a conversation with Coach Glover that I told you left us and went to Dora. He's not in coaching anymore, and he called me to clarify some rules because he's got a son going into middle school now, and he goes, are y'all even coaching the same sport that we used to coach, you know, 15 years ago? And I told him no.
Yeah.
You know, athletes – bigger, stronger, faster than they've ever been. You know, the rules that are put into place to protect them, you know, were just not even thought of back when even I played. I was unfortunate enough to be part of that group that didn't have water at practice. And, you know, a lot of things, like you said, it's for the better because we're protecting kids, sure, taking care of them, all the concussion protocol stuff that we've gone through, and then, God forbid, everything that we had to go through for COVID. But I think there is a toughness factor, and I don't know if that's the right word, just a perseverance factor.
There's a mental toughness. There's a mental toughness. I remember going outside when I was a kid, and I would stay outside, me and my friends. We'd ride my bike all during the day in the summer, July, June. And I'm sure that I'd drink water, but it wasn't like, oh, my gosh, I've been out here for 24 minutes. I need to get hydrated as quick as possible, or I might not live. There was never a point like that. It was one of those things where I just don't think – I think now it's ingrained. You have to drink water every 13.4 seconds. You have to do this. You have to do this. And I think it's just people have bought into it, you know,
I think a lot of it has to do, and a lot of people don't think about this, the amount of information that kids have access to now, we didn't have. I wouldn't have known how often I needed to drink 20 ounces of water to stay hydrated. But they have all that information at their fingertips now with a phone. And, you know, everybody's looking to get to the next level. And what do you have to do to take care of your body to make that best investment, whether it's football, basketball, anything? And they have so much information at their hands that I would have never even had access to. And I think that plays a huge role in it too.
Oh, absolutely. Cameron, that was sarcasm. I saw the face you made. That's sarcasm. She's got this face. She's like counting 13.4 seconds. That doesn't make sense.
Where did you get these numbers from?
Again, it's fun. It's sarcasm. Come on. Y'all been doing this with me for a while. Y'all should know this, that I'm joking. That's a great face. So, Coach, you've had a couple of really good teams at Hueytown. Hueytown's one of those programs where it's almost feast or famine in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. There's some really good teams, and there's some really bad teams. You've been lucky to be on the winning side a lot. And, you know, you had the year that, unfortunately, Roydale wasn't 100%.
Yep.
I think that was a team that could have made a nice little run. I was at several games. We did a couple of games on the radio with y'all, but I was at several games. And I think if Roydale's healthy, that's a different ending for you on that team.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, he's a special, special athlete. And, you know, we were able to kind of hide the fact that he wasn't 100% for probably the better part of the first half of the season. But when you roll into the end of your schedule and into the playoffs and you're not using your workhorse like you did the year before, people knew. And so we weren't able to use him as a decoy for some of those teams. Yeah. But I do believe that that probably would have had a much better ending for us. How far we could have gone, I don't know, but it definitely would have been different.
Now, are you surprised that at his size, and he's nothing, he's a ball of muscle, so let's just start right there. But as far as football tailbacks go in Division I, he's not bulky. He's no. jacked,
yep.
But he's small. But he's Alabama's power back.
Yeah.
Are you surprised by that?
No, not really. Just because I know his mentality, being able to coach him, you know, for 4 years, there's a lot of times he would rather run over somebody than try to outrun.
And can.
So, you know, I it doesn't shock me. He is unbelievably strong. I know he looks great. He's jacked up, but the strength that he has packed in that 220-pound body yeah. he is now was unbelievable.
And he hasn't always been 220. He probably came in, what?
No, he was like 204
yeah,
for
I mean,
us.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I talked to him about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I think he was 222, he said.
I think he's turned himself into a potential NFL running back if he can continue to develop. And probably needs to get a little bigger, but he's in that conversation now.
Yeah, I think the fact that he catches the ball so well third out of the backfield back. Yeah. that he's going to have a shot to play at the next level as long as he stays healthy.
I want to talk about your state championship game team in a second, but I do want people that are listening to realize that it takes a village. It's not just football players and coaches. Talk about the difference that a community can make, and not only community, but fundraising. You mentioned that you've got a quarterback club meeting tonight. How does all that play into the success of a football program?
It's much more vital than I think the average person understands. It does take a village. You know, we've been very, very blessed. You know, former player Jameis Winston has been very gracious to us financially, and it has put us into an area of success that, you know, there's other places that have city funding for city school systems, and they don't want for anything.
Thompson, maybe? Is that a team? Yeah, indoor practice facility?
Yeah, Sarah Land, you know, and yeah. – You know, and Ramsey's proved you don't have to have a Taj Mahal to win a state championship, but just the morale of your kids, your staff, to know that people are willing to invest in them, to help them reach some goals, that's the biggest thing. And there's a lot of ways to go about that, like just come into a game, you know, for the stands to be packed. And, you know, the little kids at the elementary school, when we go do Read Across America, and they treat my guys like they're rock stars, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Just, you know, that community involvement is vital, I guess, is probably the best word for a successful program. And it's just because of – we all want to be wanted, and the message it sends the kids, they know they're playing for something bigger than themselves. We talk about it all the time because our jersey has Huey Town on it. You know, the kids like to use the word represent. Well, they're representing every night, and, you know, it's I don't live here in Huey Town. I still live up in Somerton, but I've got my Huey Town gear on, and I'm representing everywhere I go. And, you know, I talk to our kids about that a lot, but yeah, just, I mean, whether it's city funding, whether it's quarterback club, whether it's Jameis, you know, being able to do and take care of our kids is just amazing. We've been very blessed.
It's so, in Hueytown, the community supports everything, but it really gets behind their football program. And I think you've seen the difference with the community support and the success that y'all had on the field.
Yep.
And I want to say this too, Jameis Winston, NFL quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner. I put in timeout when he was a kid, so I'll always have that. I'll always have that over Jameis. John Atkins told me to tell you, hey.
Yes.
I told him that I was going to have you on the podcast, and he's living in North Carolina, so we miss him on his games that he did the color. And yep. And John likes to talk. I don't know if you ever.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Kind of loud, just a little bit. So wanted to say hey to John. I know he's a big fan of yours and spoke very highly of you.
Yep, I love John to death. He did a great job on our little live stream broadcast. Gavin's shaking his head. He knows because John can be loud. We give him a hard time about that, but he will be missed.
Cameron and Jasmine, did you know that there's only been one Hueytown team to ever make a state championship game?
No.
And this guy right here, Coach Patterson, a couple of years ago, made the state championship game. I happened to be at Protective Life. It was my first game there. Mm-hmm. I've since went back and watched the Stallions a few times, but I was there for that game. Let's talk about that season, because, I mean, really and truthfully, it meant so much, because you could feel the energy and momentum build each week. Did you know spring practice, fall practice, that this team was special? Did you sense it, or was it something that you saw as the season progressed?
No.
Okay, that's great. Because let me tell you something. A lot of people, a lot of coaches go, oh, I knew it the whole time. I could tell back when these kids were in fourth grade, I was going to make them champions.
No, I tell people all the time, if you would have told me any time, I don't know, up to week six or seven, that this bunch would play for a state championship, I would tell you you've lost your mind.
Really?
Yes.
And y'all were
I mean, we were a good team.
Y'all were scoring points left and right.
Oh, yes. It's just the matchups once you get into the playoffs. In my career, haven't gone in my favor, you know, so I guess I was looking at it through that lens too. Love that team. Tremendous amount of talent. But 6A football in this state's not easy.
No, it's not. And it might be tougher than 7A.
And us being in the South, you know, and we were just coming off of a 2020 season where we drew Blount in the first round of the playoffs, and they had like six Power 5 guys playing, and they just skull drug us week one of the playoffs. So no, I didn't. I mean, I felt really good about our ability to match up against almost anybody, but I had never been there before, so that's why I think, you know, I knew we had a good chance every week, but I would have never bet anything that we were going to make it.
57 points a game, 56.8, so we're going to round up and go 57 a game. That team could score. Now, on the other side of the ball, y'all did give up some points.
We did.
But you just outscored everybody, and you happen to run into, unfortunately, just the same team, but maybe slightly more athletic in Clay Chartwell.
Absolutely. You know, me and Coach Gilmer have become pretty good friends, and the amount of talent they had on that team was just unbelievable. Overall, I think overall team speed for them kind of set them apart. But, yeah, we – you know, it's just kind of – pick your poison, so to speak. It's hard to be really good defense and be up tempo on offense.
It really is. Yeah.
You play a lot more snaps defensively because you either score quick or give the ball back to the other team. You know, so you have to be careful with your depth defensively if you're a tempo team. But yeah, and it bothers me a little bit because I'm kind of a defensive guy. But
you got to play your strengths though.
We do. Yeah. And that's what we've chosen to do. So. But, yeah, Clay Chartwell was something special that year.
Well, and so were y'all, though. It's one of those games where somebody had to lose.
Yep.
You know, if you kept playing for a week and a half, you would have had the same output. Just somebody had to lose. Is there anything in that game you could have changed or would have changed? If there's one thing you could go back and not do in that game.
Yeah, not let the ball hit us on the kickoff in the helmet.
There you go.
That was the turning point.
That really was, wasn't it? Yeah.
And the crazy thing about it, we actually practiced that because neither one of us had a kicker.
Yeah.
And literally on kickoffs, you did not know where the ball was going.
Yeah.
So we actually practiced telling our kids how to get out of the way on those line drives. And that's what bothers me as a coach, is I actually thought to go over that, and it still didn't matter. It still happened.
So, I mean, just that's one, you know, that play, I can go back and play it in my head and go, just one play could have changed. Hueytown would have had its first ever state championship. First ever state championship. I mean, that's just amazing.
I know. I mean, trust me.
I mean, you know, that team was special. And speaking of a special team, I know you're excited about this year. So I ask you so I saw you at the prayer breakfast.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember this. And I ask you, how are we looking this year? And I won't say on the air what you told me, but I'm hoping that
I can probably tell you right now. Lord help us. And people take that wrong a lot of times I say that. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, we graduated 25 seniors, 18 of them were starters. Love the group we got coming back. Absolutely love them. They worked their tails off. we just don't have a lot of experience in some very key places. And
you're losing, you lost a quarterback that won a lot of games for you.
Yes.
And that position is just not easily replaced.
Right. So, you know, it's going to be a challenge. Our schedule doesn't help us out with that. You know, you'd love to have a few different games to let those guys get their experience, but they're going to be tested by fire with 5A state champion Ramsey and then Clay Chalkwell right behind that. You know, then we got Brookwood, who I think, you know,
they were really good. They were better than people thought they were going to be last year.
They were a lot better last year. Mike does a good job with those guys. And then we got our region rival in Hillcrest after that. So, you know, three out of our first four games are looking at history very, very tough. So it's going to be a challenge. You know, we started 1-3 with that run last year with a pretty decent football team. Yeah. So, you know, that's my biggest job, you know, with the staff and with the kids, is just making sure everybody understands no matter how that plays out those first 4 weeks, it doesn't determine our end result. And you just have to keep showing up to work every day and get better. So we just got to get some experience under our belt and hold it together till we get to the playoffs.
Well, I'm going to be on the other side of town doing Helena.
Yep.
But I will be pulling for you and hopefully get to catch a game. I'm excited because I think, once again, Hueytown High School is in good hands. And your coaching staff, and you do a great job. And I think that this is going to be another good season for the Gophers.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I couldn't do it without those guys around me for sure.
Absolutely. So, Coach Patterson, I can't let you leave until we play five questions. These are five random questions.
One more thing. I don't know a whole bunch about football, but I love being able to brag about football games after we win. You know, the energy, the students, I don't know. It's just it makes me proud to be a part of Hueytown.
Dinah and I drop in, Jasmine. Look at you. all those lessons in there. Look at you. Okay. All right.
That's awesome. I hadn't talked the whole time. I know.
So we're gonna do five questions, and you're gonna ask a question, and you're gonna ask. See, you should have been thinking about what you're gonna ask. They're goofing off. There you go. Yeah. So I'm gonna start us off, and then I'm gonna ask the first two, and then you're gonna go, and then Jasmine, you're gonna go. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So here we go. So these questions, they're just random. They have no meaning whatsoever. They're probably going to make no sense whatsoever, Coach Patterson, but we have to do it with all our guests.
I get those from kids every
day. There you go. So you're just used to it. That's exactly right. All right. So you got to rank these things first, second, or third. One through three.
Okay.
These are things that you put syrup on. So pancake, waffles, French toast, first to last, what is the best? These are things you
French
put toast. Syrup on. Okay. So French toast, number one.
Pancakes, waffles.
Okay, so French toast, pancakes, waffles. Okay, so here's my order. I agree with you about French toast. My problem with French toast is most people can't make good French toast.
Correct.
If it's good, it's great. But when it's bad, it tastes like just toast with syrup on it. So I'm going to go pancakes, waffles, French toast. That's my order. But they're delicious, though. I can have all three. But and they're good for you, too. That syrup and all that sugar is fantastic for you. It tastes so good. All right, so what show right now, what's the one show that you have to watch? And if it's nothing, or if it's the news or it's SportsCenter, that's fine.
3 weeks ago, I would have told you nothing, but I've started watching a Netflix Suits.
Okay, how great is Suits?
It's pretty freaking good.
Okay, so let me tell you this. I'm glad, because I was talking to another guy today. This had the same conversation. I'm so glad you said this. So Suits, I watched on Netflix, I watched Prince Harry and Meghan, the documentary.
Oh, yeah.
Don't laugh. I saw you about to laugh. Don't laugh.
So,
I'm a big fan of Meghan. I don't know if it's good or not, but go Meghan. So, because of Meghan, I started watching Suits. It's a great show. So, I'm with you on that 100%. It's a really good show.
I'm not a real big TV person, but one of the other coaches kept telling me, you need to watch it. And so, I tried it and liked it. So.
Did you try Yellowstone?
I did.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think most...
I don't do all the prequel, sequel stuff.
No. Like, 1874, 1906, I like Yellowstone. Let's go with it. So, I'm a fan. All right, you got the third question.
What was your favorite movie growing up?
So, I do... Hold on a second. Okay, so all you're doing is piggybacking off me. I do TV.
God. My bad. I am so sorry. I'll think of a new question, okay?
No, go ahead. Favorite movie growing up.
I don't know if it's my favorite, but it's the first one I thought of when she said growing up. So I went back to high school. Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, great movie. Great movie. I'm sure you two have never seen that, right?
No.
Probably not. At your age right now, you shouldn't watch it.
Yeah, probably not.
Out of high school, though. When you get out of high school, you feel free to watch it. It's a very funny movie. Great early 80s. Awesome. Phoebe Cates, I'm a huge fan. So yeah. Go Phoebe Cates. All right, Jacqueline.
Okay, if you didn't go into... thank you.
If you didn't go into coaching.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
You know what? I was giving you thumbs up.
Yes. What would be your dream job?
Ooh,
that's a great question. And I made you forget it, but that was a fantastic question.
He's just over here thumbs up the whole time.
It's kind of, that's difficult for me because I kind of started not in coaching. I did something else. Wow.
Like when you were young, you were like, oh, seeing somebody do something, you're like, I want to do it.
Helicopter pilot.
Okay, that sounds fun.
That is a good one.
I saw a helicopter today.
That seems like it would be a fun job.
Yeah.
I mean, and somewhat dangerous, but fun in a good way. Okay, all right. So here is the last question. Favorite movie snack? You go to the movies, what are you grabbing?
Popcorn.
So it's that simple?
A staple.
That simple.
Or you add anything? For me, it's chocolate covered almonds.
Yeah, about a gallon of butter. Where they just put it over there and just pump it full of butter. Yeah.
So you're going healthy.
Yeah.
Okay, corn. Great.
Corn is a vegetable.
Man, Justin, this might be your best episode. I mean, I'm very impressed.
Well, you know.
I'm very impressed. Well, Coach Passion, thank you so much. I hope you had a good time.
I have.
And we would like to get you on maybe at the end of the season, kind of do a recap and just, you know, see what's going on and see how the team's doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm excited, and I'll wish you the best of luck
for this season. I'm excited, too.
We got Hueytown students in the house. They're ready to go. You're going to be at the first game?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Me and Gavin and Malaya, we help record at the top.
Okay. You're going to be missing John Atkins, though, Gavin, right? I think John's definitely doing that. But I think Jake Weir will be back.
Yep. And we might have to put Gavin in there to take John's place.
Well, I'm excited about that. Gavin could be – Gavin knows. He knows football. Well, once again, Coach Pash, thank you so much for being on Chamber Chat.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Go home song, Kiss Me by Newfound Glory. Until we meet again, you've been listening to Chamber Chat. Shoes and you